Hi, I'm Hungrybox, and you're listening to TCR.
Okay, so let's start.
Hello. Hello and welcome. Welcome back to another edition of The Center Ring, a.k.a. TCR, a.k.a. your favorite esports podcast, episode 154, coming to you live, pre-recorded, from an undisclosed location. The date, 4/22/2019. The time, 8:48 p.m. Central Standard Time. My name is Tim. Hello. How are you? Alongside me today, as always, is Anuj. Hello, Anuj.
What up, my dude? How are you?
What is up? What is up? We are running a
big announcement for you, man.
Yeah, we could get into that in a second here.
I think we should.
It's official. It's official. So we'll get into a big announcement here in a second. But before we do that, let's point out to the listener again the lack of commitment from Brett, as he is not with us today. Again, 2 weeks in a row, he's not here.
I thought it was like four. Not four? It feels like forever.
It just seems like four. It feels like four. No, Brett is not here again, distracted with family, proving how little he cares about the listener. But that's okay. That's okay. Because this is going to be the best episode ever. We got e-news, as always. Our weekly segment where we fill in news that we just don't have time to get to. Going to talk a little bit about this Dallas Fuel Homestead coming up this weekend here in our hometown. We'll preview the matches a little bit and talk about the event, but mainly we're going to talk about just how far esports has come. The fact that we have what is being deemed the first official home game in esports history, which I think I tend to agree with. You can argue semantics, but it's true. So we'll talk about that. And to start the show, we will talk about the Overwatch League and finding of a player and just either... There's a few possibilities with that. Either we're just getting old, Anuj, and we don't understand what's offensive and what's not. B, we're just also super sexist and don't realize it. Maybe that
could be both. That's like a really high possibility
on today's show. Or maybe we are the right ones and maybe the teams are just a little bit hair trigger on finding players. So we'll talk about that. But before we do, let's pimp out the socials at The Center Ring on Twitter. Go ahead and give us a follow if you're not already. Our website, tcr.gg, has all our fun links on there for Discord and join in on the conversation with that. But on to big news, as Anuj teased earlier. We announced it on social media, so if you follow me on Twitter, at Pirate Mushroom, you maybe have already seen this, but my wife and I are expecting our first baby.
There we go. It's exciting, dude.
Yes. So, little boy, we've known since about Christmas. I think sometimes Brett maybe hinted at it on the show, but I've quickly changed the topic because we were not going social with it yet, just for reasons. And but we figured let's do it on Easter. So due here in maybe like 4 or so months in the summer, late summer. It is a boy. Shepherd Krajewski will be the name.
Love it. Love it.
Cannot wait. This will be our first. So looking back, it's kind of crazy though, because I started the podcast when I was just dating Morgan, who which is now my wife. So longtime listeners of the show have seen... Like I was dating, then engaged, then married. Now I'm having a baby.
You couldn't let that one go. It was going to be hard to top. So it was pretty obvious, you know. Once you started dating Morgan, that was probably going to be the one.
Down.
Yeah, like gotta lock that one in.
Lock it down.
No second wife for you.
No. Yeah, I have no second wife. I have no waifu.
No waifu.
But that doesn't mean it's not possible to have a second wife, as we've learned. What a second wife is, I think. So getting into the topic at hand, and I'm going to butcher names here just because I'm bad at names, but Yang Zhaolong, 22-year-old DPS player for the Chengdu Hunters in Overwatch League. this kind of, what was it, on Wednesday or something, this news broke that he and another teammate of his were in a match with Aspen, which is a female streamer for Cloud9. And that's all she, you know, she's a team streamer. We've discussed it on the show. She's 17 years old, if that matters in this story, which it might to some. And so, you know, she plays in pickup games, and in that high level of skill, you're going to get stuck in with pros. And that happens. That's not out of the ordinary for her. She's a female gamer. Probably not out of the ordinary to get some things thrown at her, which we'll discuss here in a second. But where this story caught my attention was the fact that Yang, I'm going to call him Yang for short because we're close like that, was fined by the team for a full month's pay and the stage two bonus that he would get for the current stage of Overwatch League. So full month pay plus a bonus this dude was fined at. And I was like, oh my, like what the hell happened? Like, I got to look like that's
huge. It must
huge.
Have been bad.
Right,
it must
like
have been
a
bad.
Month's pay. Like, think about if your work said, Anuj, we're not going to pay you for 1 month. Oh, by the way, your quarterly bonus is also out of the discussion. Look, what would you have to do at your job to warrant that?
A month's pay?
A month's pay plus bonus.
Honestly, probably hit somebody and just pray HR didn't fire me and they just put me on like a leave. You know, it'd have to be some sort of leave, right? Like,
right.
A month's pay is a long time. And in his case, it's probably, let's estimate, between $5,000 to $10,000 roughly. Let's say he's making between $50,000 to $100K if he's a star player. You would know. I mean, is he a star player for? Maybe he's making a little bit more.
I don't know. They don't.
Let's
really...
just say
50,000 is the minimum, right, in Overwatch League. So even if you want to just go off the minimum,
like $5,000 to $10K, he's probably making. So that is a big chunk of change.
Yeah,
and then
I
the
think
bonus
if he has
itself,
rent.
Like, yeah,
you just took away his whole rent. Like, hey, I know you have bills, bro, but we're gonna take all those from you. Okay, you better call your companies right now and say you're gonna be a month behind on all your pay. So I'm sitting here doing research and I'm like, all right, what the hell did this guy do? And there's a couple stories going online saying, oh, he said this and it was super racist or not racist, sexist on a second account. And I was like, ooh, this is juicy. And then you come to find out, no, it was not the dude who later or earlier that same day, like basically berated Aspen for being a chick. Not the same people, completely unrelated to the topic. So
the timing is the only thing that's relevant here, right? Because maybe because that happened, this became bigger than it should have been. But that's the only way that this is relevant.
Yes. And had it been the super sexist remarks that I heard, then okay, yeah, I guess I could see why a month's pay is a lot, right?
Yeah.
And maybe warranted. I don't know, a month's pay is a lot. Okay, maybe.
Look, but
suspension.
At the end of the day, if it was super, like, if it was really, I mean, I would say super sexist. Sounds so weird. Like, if it was super,
if it was a little sexist, like, really, it'd be like, okay.
You know, but if it was like a sexist joke that it crossed the line, you would think, oh, take him off the team or suspend him.
That's what I'm
you know
thinking.
For X
like,
amount of time,
when,
right?
When
like,
you get to a month pay, you start looking at suspensions and things like.
Like you would that. Think that would almost be the step. First to suspend somebody, depending on the context, and then go to fining the player. Because if you suspend them, I'm assuming they're also losing out money for the X number of games that they're playing in. But yeah, I mean.
But that is not why he was fined so much, Anuj. The 22-year-old was fined because he told the 17-year-old streamer, Aspen of Cloud9, that she was his teammate's, Ameng's, second wife.
And?
He told her that his teammate, or that she is his teammate's second wife.
So for those of us that don't know what that means, what does that mean?
So this is where we get into the discussion. Either we're old, or we just are very insensitive to the slang hip terms nowadays, and we don't know what's sexist and what isn't. But from what I've gathered through intense research, is that it is essentially being translated into what Asian cultures would say is a waifu, which is essentially just, it's kind of popped over from anime and manga that it's someone that you are super infatuated with. You have a crush on them. That's
what
that
I've
gathered.
Yeah.
Like, as an American, I would say, hey, Aspen, my friend Anuj, he loves you. He wants to marry you. Like, that's what in my brain. Like, yeah, he just has a huge crush on you, Aspen. And that's what would be my translation to all of this. You watch the clip. It doesn't seem like Aspen was completely offended by it. She later commented on Twitter saying, like, hey, look, it was okay. You know, I really didn't know what he meant by it. You know, it's okay. Like, well, not upset. And yet, this is the actual statement from the team to make it just sound even more dramatic. On behalf of the Hunters, we apologize to Aspen and all people involved. The team wrote on Twitter, we have already severely reprimanded and educated our player on his behavior. If he makes a similar mistake in the future, the punishment will be doubled.
That's insane.
Look, if you make that same mistake and your punishment is doubled, you might just have to, like, move back to Korea at that point. Or
it's ask just for like, a trade or something. I mean,
you got to figure like something out at that point, because something is terribly wrong if you're going 2 months without pay.
So if he had just said, my teammate Meng has a crush on you and loves you, let's just say he had said it that way, instead of saying the second wife, would this be a thing?
I don't know. I also want to be, he wouldn't move back to Korea. He'd move back to China. That was my bad.
China, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's a thing. Sure. Yeah,
okay, maybe we're just super insensitive. I don't know. See, that's what I don't understand, right? Is I need someone to really explain to me why this is such a big deal. Now, if it's offensive, okay, it's offensive, and that's okay, right? Times have changed, and you can't say, you know, hell, even from when we were younger, I cannot say the same thing to other people that I probably could have gotten away with in high school, right? I mean, look at Brett. That dude's like 50. Imagine what he's told women.
Imagine what he's saying to him now. Brett would not be getting paid on a month-to-month basis right now. No, I mean, I'm a little shocked. I mean, I guess what I would want to know, if somebody knows more than we do, if this means something more than what we think it means, then I would love to know, obviously, right? Mm-hmm. But from the information that we've gathered, and let's just assume this is the meaning for discussion's sake, it blows my mind that they would fine him for it. I mean, maybe you talk to him and say he was inappropriate to, like, share your teammates' feelings. I don't know. I mean, it just seems so over the top and such a harsh reaction that I'm kind of curious, do we know how it took off? Like, how did this escalate to a point where the teams even got a hold of this information? Like, right. It was on a stream. If you haven't seen the clip, it's a very short clip. I mean, you're talking 15 seconds top.
And you wouldn't even, if you didn't know what you were looking for, you would have no idea.
Yeah, because it's even blocked out almost by her camera. You literally see the one line and they were kind of joking and she responded, you know, with LOL. And right. So, and it was like all caps as if it was a funny joke. And it like moved on from there. So I'm almost curious how the team got wind of it. You know, how did this become a big thing? You know, somebody had tweeted something about it. I'm just a little shocked at the reaction that this got.
I think partially it's like we said, I do think there might have been some miscommunication where the team possibly even thought like they heard word of like this super sexist thing that was said to Aspen. Oh, and one of our players said something, and then in their minds maybe just thought, oh my God, right? Like, this is terrible, and maybe pulled the trigger on that fine a little too much. But I will say this, because this also, I think, sheds a little bit of light to things. And because again, even if this is viewed as a just punishment, right? Even if saying, hey, my teammates thinks you're a second wife is super offensive. And this could be like a Chinese culture thing maybe, right? It could very well be, and again, that's why the whole waifu terms comes into play, because he's Chinese, right? So they use that over there. It's translated here to second wife or a crush. Well, maybe over there it's, like here we kind of use it as like a meme, right? Kind of like notice me, sensei, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of like a meme. But maybe there it is super rude to say that to a woman. Does that make it okay for a team to fine a player a month's salary? Because I can promise you, if this was an NA organization, this would not happen.
No. No, and this is also, if this was not franchising, this could not happen. You know, like, I'm a little shocked that, again, that they just pulled the trigger the way they did. If this was an NA organization, this would be like a non-topic. Can you imagine? Think in CSGO. Like, just the stuff that we've seen kind of typed out and the chatter that goes on there. Because, again, this is streaming, right? This is not on an official, you know, this is not during a match. You know, this is not on the team's official stream in that sense. So for them to take it to this point, I just don't see this happening in any other, you know, this is just one microcosm of what we've seen from Overwatch League in terms of some of the fines and the way that they have handled some of the disciplinary stuff towards their players. I think a lot of it has been over the top personally, right? This is one that really stands out because of the amount of money involved and it's the team decision. But again, I just don't see this being an issue at all with an NA org. I don't know if there's any uniform rule though, however, to distinguish like, oh, well, a Chinese org can run their team this way. I mean, it's an org decision ultimately, right?
Right. Yeah. And then you come into play like prior to the show, I was like, man, the league should probably step in on this one. But at the same time, then you run into the debate of, well, should the league be trying
to...
That's a whole nother franchising discussion of, is it right for leagues to step in to, you know, organization matters like this? Now, ultimately, I think the team should have the player's best interest at heart, just like the team should. And maybe the league says, look, you just destroyed this dude's monthly living, right? And now you're threatening to double that? So you're going to destroy 2 months of this guy's living? Like, that's not possible, right? Like, sorry, but that's we've made a requirement for you to pay players a minimum salary so they could survive off of being a professional Overwatch League player, not for you to have harsher punishments and take that away as sending a message, right? They did a minimum player salary for a reason. Maybe there also needs to be, because it's, correct me if I'm wrong, but in traditional sports, there is a maximum fine that players can have.
Yeah, like depending on the violation, like they can get fined up to...
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like if it was drug policy, they can get fined X amount. If it's this, which I would assume lewd behavior, whatever you want to call it, it's okay. You can fine them up to this percentage of their salary or
whatever. And maybe that's there. I guess we don't know in depth on how, you know, those league rules are written out, but it just seems like a large amount. Again, I think they should have gone suspension route if they wanted to do something like a one game suspension or something like that, just to be like, hey, you know, don't do this, or you can't start. I don't know. This really seems like something, you know, think of it in college football where they're like, hey, you can't start the first drive of the next game. You can come in for the second one. Right. Like that seems like the appropriate...
We're going to really send a message here. And
yeah.
You're not going to play one drive out of the 300 we're about to do.
Like, yeah. Okay. I mean, that's kind of what I feel like this penalty should have been for him. And it's unfortunate because it is, like you said, it does have an effect on his... career, like in the sense of even just trying to promote yourself, like this is kind of a red flag that kind of sticks around with you as you move around too. It's just drawn a lot of negative attention to him that, again, unless it means more than what we think it does, I'm still having such a tough time understanding why this was a big deal. His teammate even apologized at the end of the match. There's a little clip, I don't know if you saw this, but he apologized after the match and he goes, my teammate has, or he goes, he has brain damage or something like that as a joke to, like, you know, and what didn't seem like a big deal to either one of them. And so
I didn't. Now again, this is the same league though. And again, I say league, this was not Overwatch League doing this. This was completely the Hunters organization. But again, this is the same culture that has banned the OK symbol. So I feel like the Overwatch League has just kind of spawned this culture of being extra, extra, extra safe. And man, I don't know what to tell you, but know your client, right? Know your target market. Obviously, I'm not saying let them be super racist or sexist or anything like that. I'm just saying...
It didn't feel like a line was crossed in this situation. I mean, is what it comes down to. It just didn't feel like any lines were crossed. Because I'm all for punishing somebody if I feel like they say the wrong thing or cross a line, or, you know, if he had said something like, you know, sexually implicit to her or in some way insinuating that. From this, it just seems like he was just,
or even like if he was just being a creep, you know?
Yeah, like it didn't come across that way.
Oh, hey, girl, hey, Aspen, what are you doing tonight? Oh, you want to, so, like that, I could even be like, hey, dude, we don't need our players creeping on other girls and female streamers on stream. Could you
in
just
mid-game.
Not do that in
like,
mid-game?
Like mid-game.
Why don't you hit her up in her DMs and do that privately like any other creepy athlete would, right?
Yeah.
I get that. But, I mean, this... Someone has to explain it to me. I hope we're missing something here, Anuj. I hope we are missing something very obviously offensive. Or I don't know. Or
I'd be shocked if we are.
With
the hours of research that we put into this, I would really be shocked if we're wrong here.
I walked around town just calling people my second wife to see what would happen, and nothing.
Nobody took a swing.
Here we are. I don't know what's going on.
Let us know. If you guys know, let us know. Because, like I said, we're having a hard time believing.
Yes. Indeed. Much like this was hard to believe, there are certain times in esports that draw my attention and kind of make it hard to believe on where esports is at in life. We've often talked about it on the show, our history with competitive gaming, and how I remember like the fact that I could get a full 16-man LAN party of Halo in my house was pretty mind-blowing, of everyone playing competitively. Or, you know, you went to, what was it, CompUSA for Counter-Strike tournaments, and I remember going to Halo tournaments at GameStop, and it was seriously like the most dinkiest setup, and that was considered, though, like high life. Like, whoa, I could win a $25 gift card for this? Like, what?
Yeah. It's like going to one of those, even those local LAN centers that were holding events, whether it not be like pro, but that still felt like those were big deals, you know? Like, that was a big thing to like go do. That's kind of how it was.
Yeah, and then it kind of morphed into, like, I remember when I went to the first MLG event in the Embassy Suites of Frisco for MLG Dallas. I think I want to say 05. I think I was 15 when I went to my first, like, what I would consider, like, big boy tournament, right? And I remember thinking to myself, it's never going to get bigger than this, boys. Like, this is
the
life. Like,
this is
you see, they have two sets of bleachers here, all right? I can get free Stride gum. Like, what more would you want in life? And that's always like that was a mind-blowing moment. Another one I would think is going to MLG Columbus, right? Going to the first NA major for Counter-Strike and seeing it in person where, you know, half a stadium that probably, 10,000 people were there. That was another mind-blowing moment. Again, thinking, it's never going to get bigger than this.
We've thought that so many times, you know, like for me, it was like CPL here in Dallas. And then all of these were like local events, you know, looking back at it for us, we're fortunate in that sense. But like CPL in Dallas, I thought that was like, oh my gosh, look how many people are here to like talk and watch video games, you know, like how does it get bigger than this? And it's continued to morph. I mean, we're watching it and it's happening at like it's happening now like rapidly, right? Like the progression was really slow for the first 10 years, 15 years almost, you know, like it just felt real slow and it was creeping up. And in the last like three years,
there was a plateau, I would say, somewhere in there as well, though, because I will bring this up because a lot of people always like to be like, man, and this is also almost like a sign of like, hey, guys, you know, for people who have been here since the beginning, like, you know, kind of appreciate for where esports is at right now, because you don't know in 2 years, dude, Overwatch League could crumble, which proves that franchising and TV markets and the big money isn't interested. And then all of a sudden we go right back to where we were, where it's just homegrown tournaments and it is what it is, right? Like, I'm sure at one point in time, some dude playing bowling was like, bros, we're on ESPN. Like, Sunday's bowling is on ESPN. We made it. Like, we're going to fill out stadiums. And then somewhere along the line, bowling just hit that wall, and it is what it is. And I love esports. I'm an esports homer. But I'm telling you, it could happen to esports just as well, right? It hits that wall, and it is what it is. You know, they don't overtake football. They don't overtake the NFL like everyone said it was supposed to. It's possible. And the reason I say this is because back in the day, I remember ESPN had an MLG section on their website for Halo. And me and my friends were like blown away that ESPN has an MLG section? ESPN?
Just to acknowledge it. Yeah, yes. Just to acknowledge it.
The fact that you saw an article about Walshy and Ogre Twins and stuff on ESPN? That's insane. And then it went away. And it was like another 10, 12 years until, maybe 2-3 years ago, ESPN started covering League of Legends. And Jacob Wolf got involved. And now they're starting to do a little bit more acknowledgement of it. I saw a highlight on the top 10 once. It's like, but again, that's like 10 years in between the first time they dipped their toes into the esports water. Not nearly as much pop. You know, I will admit, there wasn't as much money. The popularity isn't nearly the same as it is now. But I'm just saying, you can see moments throughout the path where you're like, damn, dude, this is awesome. It's never going to get bigger. And then there were also moments along that path, though, that made you question, like, uh-oh. Like, is this the plateau, right? Is this when it stops going up?
Is it the game that you think determines where it's headed necessarily? Like, what brought it back in your mind from Halo disappearing and whatever, 07, 08, whenever it was like really kind of...
Yeah, probably just about when I graduated high school. So yeah, 08. I'd say it's almost the... video games nowadays, though, are so affordable compared to back then, right? Especially like on the PC market and cell phones, right? We make fun of mobile gaming all the time, but you know, you can play Fortnite on your phone. You can play PUBG on your phone. It's possible. It's just more, I think, accessible to a lot of people nowadays, to where, man, back in the day, I remember in high school, it was like maybe 10 people had quote unquote gaming PCs, right? Where like you actually knew how to put together a PC with an actual graphics card and everything. It was
unheard of when we were in school. Yeah. It was like one in the, you know, you had a,
yeah. And five, that's, I mean, that's for me, right? You graduated way before me. So
yeah.
I mean, you were probably...
There was like four of us in my grade that I knew that played like computer games for the most part.
Yeah. Like, yeah. So it was very little. So I think that's the difference now. But now, going back to the whole point of this segment, is there's a moment upcoming this weekend that's like, wow, this is pretty cool. And that is the Dallas Fuel Homestead Weekend, also known as the Homestand Weekend, also known as Ultimate Weekend, also known as... Don't know how the marketing team screwed up their name like three different times, but yet I think the Overwatch League called it one thing, the Dallas Fuel called it something else, and then somewhere in the long someone made a typo. I don't know. I'm going to go with Homestead Weekend, though. I think that's the way the Dallas Fuel are selling it anyways. But this weekend coming up, if you haven't heard, is the first official esports home match of all time, and it's here in Dallas. Overwatch League awarded the Fuel to be the first team to say, we are having a home game, an official home game for the Overwatch League. Now, again, this is where I say you can argue semantics. Cloud9 played in Boston. Cloud9's played in NA soil. But again, when you don't have cities attached, you can have that home crowd. Yeah, see? In our Twitch chat here, Korea says, I think it's Homestand. It's anything. I don't know.
Homestand makes more, like, I think it's Homestand also, personally, but I was letting you roll with it. It could be Homestand, though.
Homestand. See, Atlanta has the second one coming up, and I think they call it Homestead, or at least they did. I don't know.
We're going with Homestand. It just sounds better, I think.
Homestand. Yeah. And so they awarded that. So once again, DFW Dallas is getting recognized for its esports roots. Some people will tell you Dallas is where esports started. I think it's very cool. And I think Blizzard and Overwatch League is acknowledging that in the sense of giving Dallas the first home game ever for the league. Now, of course, you have the arena in LA. So you'll have the LA team say, well, I mean, we were home. Like, no. You didn't play at a home base. You played in the Blizzard Arena that just happens to be in the city that you're in, but it was never labeled as a home match, right?
Now, will this be their permanent home going forward?
Mm-mm. No, from the last That's a good question. So the last time I spoke with people within the fuel organization, they gave me a affirmative no. This is not their permanent home that's going to be in Allen, which is kind of out there if you're in the Metroplex. Yeah. So I hope it's not. I hope this weekend works out great. It's completely sold out. They sold 3,500 tickets per day. So that's going to be, 7,000 people over the weekend going. Pretty nuts. But I really hope Allen is not their permanent location because...
That's too far.
I live an hour plus, so
yeah.
I'm going to be sitting at home most of the time if that's the case. But I think what they're going to do is kind of do, because I mean, I don't know, dude, because they gotta have a plan by 2020. Keep in mind, the league said next year,
you're going to home.
They're doing home and away. Yeah, home and away. So they got to figure out something. I think what they're going to do, though, is just bounce around the Metroplex to kind of do a tour of the team and then use that as a measuring tool on what area might fit best.
Can I play devil's advocate here for a moment?
Please do. Cause I was going to as well. Cause I also have doubts, but we'll let you go first.
If we are considering this the first true home game, but it's not at a set arena, does that take something away from it for you? And so in the terms of how you look at it, the event still has a lot of meaning, and I get that. I'm not taking away from the actual meaning of having a home game, but if it's not your arena, isn't it just having it at any other venue and calling it a home game? Like you said, you took it away from the Gladiators, right? Saying, well, that's Blizzard's arena. Well, what if that ends up now being LA's home spot,
right?
And Blizzard's.
I don't think so. I don't think it takes it away because A, it's the league calling it the first ever home game. So the league isn't even acknowledging that LA fan bases are saying, no, we've had home games first, right? But I also think it's the fact that this is solely for the purpose of Dallas playing in Dallas, right? It might not be their permanent home, but that's just because they don't have one yet. It's still their home Metroplex. But
because it's tied to the city, it makes it a home game in that sense. Dallas, so hey, it's here.
It's near
called a home game. And kind of the first time we really had the ability to have a home game with that being said, right? So we're saying it's the first ever home game. Well, thanks to franchising, it's given us that opportunity to be able to do this. There are several teams that are you could have technically done it before, Cloud9 at the time playing in some of the Oakland arenas IEM. Technically they were California based, but they're known as NA, NA organization, NA team, right? So this is something that franchising has is allowing us to enjoy, is the ability to have a home game. And I think it is super significant. I mean, it is another big step, for esports to go this route. It's just an evolution of how we've seen kind of, obviously esports was grassroots, but then there was also a moment where it became big, but it was still run like grassroots organizations. Right. And I think you see a lot of that in Call of Duty currently. You definitely saw it in Counter-Strike. I think you see it even in Counter-Strike now, personally, to a certain extent.
Right. Obviously, well, it's look at DreamHack, right? Yes, DreamHack is this huge organization, and they have it down to a science. But ultimately, it's just a very big grassroots event.
Yeah, I mean, you can kind of see that with the whole Astralis drama. And if you don't know about that, listen to our last episode. But you don't see things like that happening in Overwatch League, right? They're very well controlled. Mm-hmm. And franchising is now, again, giving us this opportunity to enjoy a home and home game. I'm so happy I can say, we're going to be in attendance for that. And getting to witness that live, I think that's going to be something special. And the hype definitely feels real, man.
I think you're going to see celebrities. I say celebrities, Dallas celebrities. There's some professional athletes that are known to be Overwatch fans. Luka, for one. I wouldn't be surprised seeing him there.
Yeah.
It is a huge milestone. Now, my turn to be the Debbie Downer and play devil's advocate here is that I am somewhat nervous with anticipation on how the home games play out. Because you see at the Blizzard Arena, that some nights with some teams, and again, I understand, you know, obviously they're in LA, two Chinese teams playing, you might not draw a crowd. But there are nights where that LA arena looks pretty darn empty. Yeah. And are we in a place now to where esports can afford, like, look at Philly's stadium that they're building, right? We talked about a couple episodes ago. It's $1 million+. I mean, it's an expensive stadium. Can they afford to build that and not sell out seats? You know, and you could be like, well, Tim, events sell out all the time for esports. Yeah, that's because ESL comes to Dallas once a year, maybe, right? It's not even a guarantee that you will ever see a major in Columbus again, right? So, of course, they're going to sell out. It's, you're looking at timed specific events that you might get once a year in your local area and some never in your local area again. Well, now...
How many home games are there?
Well, I would assume...
Roughly. How many games are there in this season?
I would assume there'd be like 10 home games. 10 or so home games.
It's quite a bit. Like, right. To run through a season.
Assuming how their schedule plays out. I guess that's one thing everyone's waiting to see how that plays. But still, let's just say, for the sake of conversation, 10 home games. Can you fill that out? Right? Like, when is that hype going to die? Or, you know, God forbid, your team sucks. You know, I mean,
that's the biggest factor. If your team sucks, I think
people,
if you have a bad team.
How many times have you heard, like, Texas is a baseball town, right? Rangers fans love them some baseball. They also love filling that stadium about 25% if that team sucks and it's hot outside.
Yeah.
So what if your team sucks? What if whatever, right? Or what if it's just people learn, like, hey, this is cool. I can also watch this at home, though.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely, that should be a fear of every team, right? I think initially some teams will probably, like, maybe split venues with some sort of other event organization or something to make sure that they are, you know, you can't just do 10 events throughout the year and assume that this big facility is just going to sit there the other 346 days, right?
Right.
And so... yeah, it should be a big fear of theirs, but I think this is a big fear of traditional sports organizations as well, just like you mentioned. They all have to deal with it. If you don't have a good product, then you're not going to have fans come and fill the seats. I think my bigger fear here, and this is a whole different discussion that we're not going to dive into right now, is just the longevity of a game in general. Take out the fact that it's Overwatch or whatever. But my biggest fear is if you're going to build a $25 million arena or $50 million arena or whatever the cost is, it's a lot of money either way. That what is the lifespan of games nowadays, right? Any game, it's generally not very long.
Right.
There are a few that have stood the test of time, and maybe Overwatch is that too. I think that should be your biggest fear, because you're gonna have fans these first couple seasons. The game is just too popular right now, like, not to have fans. But these are all long-term investments. Once you start doing brick and mortar and you're making like an actual facility, you should be thinking $50 million. You're probably thinking 5-10 years out. You know, what are we doing with this? So there's a lot of fear going into it, but these guys are heavily backed financially. That's a risk that they're all willing to take.
Well, they've hired smart people. You know,
yeah,
I mean, look at the Fuel hiring Jeff as their president, you know. Jeff Moore has years of experience with traditional sports. He was here when the Dallas Stars moved, a hockey team moving to Texas, right? And people, I promise you, were saying the same exact thing that we're saying now about that. So yeah. I'm not saying anything that hasn't been said before. I'm just saying, for someone who just has seen it grow, plateau, die a little bit, and then flourish 10 times over, you know, it's just... esports is my little baby, and I just don't want to see it.
We don't want to see something mess up.
Yeah, like, I don't want to force it out of the house right now, right?
Yeah.
Our baby, I feel like, is moving out, and I just, look, if you're not ready to move out, you can stay home. You can stay home.
A couple more years. It's okay. Not a big deal.
Yeah, it's okay. It's okay. You don't have to pay rent. I guess that's really what I'm worried about, is just what happens when they have the downtime. Because right now, esports is up. Right, we're all living the high life, everything like that, but eventually it's got to plateau out or even out, to say the least. So I don't know. We'll see. That's something time will tell, Anuj.
Dallas is one of those markets, though, at the same time. I wouldn't be too worried about our market. You know, it's some of these other markets that I think could run into issues, or teams that are also, like you said, maybe like don't have any NA players, you know, and maybe it's not as relatable in that sense. But
Dallas is kind of unique in the sense of, you know, you have Envy, you have Complexity. Optic is based here. Now their Overwatch League is in Houston. So that's a little, that kind of throws a wrench in it. But, you know, what if they just kind of say, guys, let's just create a badass arena for esports with esports entertainment in mind, and then we'll figure it out there. It's possible to share. I mean, most basketball and hockey teams now share one arena, and they play in season at the same time. So it's possible, and I wonder maybe if that's the better way to go. It might be the safer, more investment way. Now, I know everyone wants their own shiny toy, and they don't want to share, especially right now. I mean, Complexity is partnered with Jerry Jones money, right? You think they want to share with Envy? Like, no. And Envy's probably the same way. Like, no, I'm the Dallas team. I'm Dallas Fuel. I want our own stadium. But I don't know. It's a possibility.
It does make a good point with franchising going into other sports, or other esports. That makes that more feasible, right? So
yeah.
Then you get into different ownership groups. But hey, that's a problem for them to figure out. All I know as a fan is I am excited for next weekend.
Of course.
Really, really pumped to get to see a home team. I know this is going to feel like a heavyweight fight, dude. Like, in it the will. Sense that it's going to be, there's going to be so much energy there. I'm just really looking forward to being part of it. And so
I can't wait to, so yes, to Anuj's point, we will be out there Saturday and Sunday. So if you're going, be sure to hit us up on Twitter and let us know. We'll be kind of walking around pretty much the whole event. Probably staying still very little. And I'm really looking forward to talk to the players afterwards from the Fuel, considering this is like the first time that they are going to be in a stadium full of their fans. They play Houston Outlaws. That is the finale. Yeah. I don't know why that sounded so weird the first time. It is the finale on Sunday that they are playing Houston Outlaws. I mean, the league knew exactly what they were doing when they scheduled that one. And then they play Saturday, the late game, 4 o'clock for LA Valiant. So that will even be a good one. Yeah. So I think they've scheduled up some pretty good winnable games. Okay. We'll see how that goes. As the Fuel have been looking, I don't know, week 2 of stage 2, they looked dominant that they would never lose again. And then after week 3, it looked like they were never going to win again. So we'll see going into this weekend. But I know the players are already here. They tweeted out, so they will have time to kind of get acclimated. You know, their schedules are going to be a little different than normal. A lot of media, a lot of press. So it will be a sight to see for sure. And I hope some of our listeners were able to go. So there's that. There is that. But let's get into some e-news, shall we? Let's see here. Oh, let's get into some CSGO. Just real quick, an ESL Pro League kind of update. If you haven't been paying attention, the ESL Pro League has started. And again, this is their first year that's kind of reformatted, because them and ECS are not overlapping as far as their regular season play go. So both of them are kind of funky in the way they do their formats. It's not just one giant ladder pool that everyone plays in like you would normally see. So they've split all the regions up into teams or into groups. So you can look at that if you want. But as far as the way it works is that if you win your group, which some have already gone through, you automatically qualify for the finals. And then if you play second and third, or second or third, then you qualify for the second stage, which is basically a play-in tournament to qualify for the finals. And if you get fourth, then you're done. You're out.
You're up for relegation at that point.
Yep. So, getting into the teams that have already finished up, on the NA side, you have NRG moving on, Team Liquid, and Luminosity. Luminosity, man, I don't know if you've watched any of these, because I'm going to get a little, this is going to be a little tangent here, okay? This is for the North American group. These matches are getting played at 1:30 in the morning. When did I message you the other day where I'm like, I'm sitting here watching Cloud Nine and somebody.
It was Saturday night and it started at like 2 a.m.
Dude, I think it was like Liquid for, what match was I watching? It had to have been Cloud Nine because I don't think I would have stayed up late. But it was like 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, what is going on right now? This is for the North American pools and we're starting at 2 o'clock in the morning? Like, come on, dude. Like, get with it. You got to figure something out with your scheduling. If that's the, and it really is the normal case. Like, teams are just playing till 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. It's ridiculous.
It's like, if you're going to do it that way, you might as well keep it back online, right? Instead of doing it on land. Like, why make it so inconvenient for the players also?
Chat gamer hours. No, there's no such thing as that at 2 o'clock in the morning.
If it's like after midnight, you know, I mean, really, Counter-Strike matches are so long in general, like when they do best out of three type scenarios or
I like
whatnot.
Football, but I don't want to watch football consistently at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Not starting a Cowboys game at 1 a.m. You know, like it's just not.
Yeah, it's different if you're like talking, oh man, this is overtime and this is a historical game, but no.
When you say gamer hours, I would only agree. Yeah, if I'm just sitting here and like mindlessly playing something and not really caring what I'm doing, yeah, that's like the type of gamer hours that would be for me. But... yeah.
So NRG, Team Liquid, Luminosity going through. Qualifying for Second Chance, you have E-United, Renegades, Ghost, Complexity, MIBR, and Cloud9. Getting moved on to, or eliminated really, but relegated, is Ints, Lazarus, and our very own Team Envy going 0-3. Looked good, but again, that's such a new roster. Take it with a grain of salt.
The roster that we feel is like still changing and like figuring itself out. Yeah. And
yep. For the EU side of it, you have Mousesports qualifying. They won Group A. FaZe Clan winning Group B. That was a gimme group for them. Heroic, Devil.
Although
Ninja's
got last in that group, so that's a pretty big deal there to get knocked out that way. All close matches for them just didn't go their way.
Getting Second Chance, Optic, North, Heroic, Devils 1. Navi, Fnatic, Teams Eliminated are X Space Soldiers, Nip, as Anuj just mentioned, and Wendigo. So, Wendigo. And then Group D is tomorrow. So that's what you'll have. Astralis, Big, X, 3D Max, and Hellraisers. Oh, boy. Oh, boy, Astralis.
What's the money line on that one?
Right. And then you actually have Oceania and Asia. Ladders 2. Asia's actually already finished up. Tyloo going through. But the unique thing here is that they are playing LAN. So, like, before, the big argument for ESL and all these leagues is, like, they're online matches. Who cares? But not anymore. That's why they've kind of changed this format up of, like, hey, let's do groups kind of like CWL, the Call of Duty World League. They do the same thing. It's all in groups, and then that way they can kind of house 4, 5, 6 teams together, and then they just play their stage
this is
of
all,
the season.
This is all VP needed. VP would be number one ESL Pro
League. Hey, that's what we were told. We were told that the reason VP stopped winning is because they didn't care about online. If only they stayed relevant for a couple more,
year. They're ranked like 5th in Poland right now or something.
Yeah, they're not looking too good.
Fall has been far from that one.
You think that owner wants that Mercedes back that he bought? My gosh. That he bought Taz. Like, hey, buddy, can I get those keys back?
That was on loan. That was a 2-year lease. Wouldn't need that back right now.
right. Yeah. Sorry, bro. Sorry. Taz just gets a letter in the mail that he has to start making payments. Like, what the hell? In other news, Call of Duty Apathy was traded to EG from Envy, and Envy ends up picking up Pharaoh from G2 and Decimate. Oh, I'm sorry, Pharaoh from
100 Thieves.
100 Thieves, Decimate from G2.
Which that's big because Pharaoh was who 100 Thieves kind of built around with him and Kenny initially.
I remember talking about that. Like, when that was a big deal when he got on.
Yeah, because they like had them switch positions, and that's why Karma didn't join. Like, imagine, really, they picked Pharaoh over Karma because they didn't want to do a position swap at the time. And so Karma ended up going back to Optic, and Pharaoh stayed on 100 Thieves. And now to see him be, you know, moved around, that's it's a pretty big change. Good for, I think it's a good pickup for Envy, though. I do think he'll do well.
I think it's a good pickup. And, you know, Apathy, I think, is a good pickup for EG. He wasn't playing poorly. It's just it wasn't working. It wasn't clicking. But I think Apathy still is a good player to have on your team.
So I think good leader. Overall. Brings a lot of experience. And now with EG, he's there with Tatch, ex-phase player. So even that roster, like I said, is beneficial to all parties.
I think everyone kind of benefited from this.
Yeah.
Oh, in Battle Royale news, Face It Global Summit PUBG Classic finished up this week. OP Gaming Rangers ended up taking first, Shoot to Kill second, Team Liquid third, and OGN Entis Force ended up taking fourth. Actually, still pretty, man, you know I don't play PUBG, and I know I trash on it, but their tournaments are still pretty entertaining to watch. I don't know if it's just the mass chaos that's going on stage, or Pansy is play-by-playing it, and I just love her. Might even say she's my second wife. But I really hope that doesn't turn out to be super offensive.
Yeah,
go ahead and find me a one-month TCR salary. You know what? Find me a whole year of TCR salary. Take
done.
Well, I'll write you the check right now if that's what I got to do.
Literally be a blank check.
Yeah, that was a good tournament there. And in other news, you had Smash this weekend for Pound 2019. Smash Ultimate Ally ended up defeating Myron 3-2 in the finals there. Ally, I don't know if you remember this, Anuj, or maybe some listeners do, or if you follow the Smash scene, you probably will. Former Cloud9, currently Orgless. It's very weird seeing him being celebrated, considering the reason he was dropped from Cloud9 was because of, like, I think borderline rape accusations and like beating women. So a bit awkward to see him winning stuff. I don't know. I really don't know the follow-up to the story. So maybe it was all made up, but there's
That would be pretty rough. That would not be a good look.
And the fact
there's
that
really not too much to say about
that. Have an org. Kind of tells me that maybe there was truth to it, because surely a team would pick him up if it wasn't true at all. But
has he been consistently good prior to this event?
He's been relevant-ish. He kind of took time off when he was dropped from Cloud9, but still, I mean, he was one of the best Wii U players, right? He was the best Smash U player, so.
And we're going to dive into that at some point, kind of just see what's going on there. That could be
we'll
interesting.
See what happens there.
Be a little juicy.
And then in Melee, So strange. But HBox ends up defeating Mango after restarting the bracket. This was a very, very fun match, considering Mango knocked out HBox earlier in the event. So you had that rivalry kind of get sparked back up again. As a Mango fanboy, it was very tough to see, but it was good to see him back in the finals nonetheless. But that's not the story. The story is not two legends, two of the remaining Melee gods dishing it out. No. The story is, after the event, someone threw a raw, uncooked crab at HBox on stage. Surely.
Like right by him.
Right by him. Surely, if you watch esports, or if you follow it on Twitter, you have seen the video. If not, just look up HBox crab on Google, and you will find the clip of it. The strangest thing, and there's like very blurry video of it. Like, they know who did it, right? Like, they see the person, but you can't make out who it is. So
no, they got him.
They did.
So, yeah, they did. They did. So update on the story. Breaking news. Maybe if we had some
breaking
sort
news
of,
to me.
Yeah, breaking news. You could play something there. Yeah, they caught him. He has been permanently suspended from all events for Smash Melee from this particular TO. Tournament organizer, and they are going to be passing his information, they said, to all tournament organizers to see if they can get a ban from him for any event. Didn't press charges, I don't believe. They are also not releasing his name at this point because he is a underage minor, and they don't know if that's really the best thing to do. They said at this point.
I mean, you know.
Yeah, it's already.
Don't try to fight violence with other violence. You know, like, don't be like, hey man, don't throw a crab. That's not cool. But then give out his name, and then so he could be ran through the mud. I don't know if that's the best thing to do for an underage minor. In fact,
banned from all events, and they are passing to other TOs.
And I think that's fair. He should be, sure. You know, the fact that he's underage, okay, you can't really do criminal charges, and he's an idiot. If I was HBox, maybe you think if it hit him, sure, hit him with assault. Why not? But seriously, check out the video. The audio wasn't that great, so I didn't pull the audio. But the video, man, HBox goes from happy to win, disbelief that he just saw a crab go flying in the air, zooming past his face, to I'm going to murder whoever threw this crab at me.
He was definitely pissed
with authority. And like, it's crazy. If you go and watch the video, just listen, get headphones and listen, because I have never seen, because the room was going crazy, right? Because the HBox just won, right? It's the end of Pound. It's a big tournament. Mango lost. So obviously you have people yelling about being upset about that. And it just goes silent. I mean, the second he stands up and starts yelling at the crowd on who threw
he's like holding it up in the air, too. Like, who threw it at me? Who threw it at me?
It goes silent. The whole room silent.
Yeah.
Oh, man. If I was one of those people, like, if imagine if he was looking at you dead in the eyes yelling. Whew. Also, I will say this. I give HBox a lot of crap, but it's not. I mean, you got to respect the guy for what he does. Yes, he's a Puff player, but he did not win this tournament by cheesing it. He beat Mango fair and square. He reset the bracket. He did not fly around, and he didn't get any timeouts or anything. It was legit. Also, like, I don't think people realize, like, HBox, the dude isn't a full-time gamer. He stopped being a full-time gamer, like, a year or so ago. He has a full-time job. So, like, I know, like, with Summit, and I'm pretty sure with this, it's like, after the tournament, he has a flight scheduled that same night to fly home to go to work next day.
Good for him.
Like, dude is a hustler, and to be having to like deal with crap like that, like, I don't blame him for getting up and wanting to murder someone.
Yeah, and like, I mean, he can be the villain, you know, and that's fine for his playstyle. Like, that's great. It's actually good for everyone to have one, you know, but you got to have respect. And not only should people respect him as a player, but yeah, that crap's uncalled for. And, you know, happy this person is hopefully going to get what they deserve here.
Yeah. Just. One more thing here. Not really esports news, but we'll bring it up because it can always turn into it. Is Mortal Kombat 11 does come out tomorrow. So adding another game to the FGC scene. Very interesting game, too. Mortal Kombat is always one of my personal favorites. I will be getting it for PC, reluctantly, but I don't want to get it for PlayStation because I won't play it as much. But the PC launches are always a little rough. So if you are getting MK11 for PC, let me know. We can play some for sure. I am definitely getting not the premium edition because I'm making a statement, Anuj. I'm making a statement. And I am not buying the premium edition, which comes with 6 DLC characters later on and, like, skins and crap.
You're going to get it, aren't you?
Nope, I'm not. Because, do you know the cost?
I'm guessing the game is $59.99.
Right, regular is $59.99, which, in my opinion, is still a little much for a fighting game. But, hey, I'm, you know, whatever, it's standard.
Premium, I'm going to go with $99.99.
$99.99. $100 freaking to start.
Dude, every game is doing this.
Are you kidding me?
Every game is doing this. They're all $60, and then they have some gold or platinum or rainbow edition or something. Dude, like some color edition that is $100.
Already niche enough. Do you have to price out the people who want to play your game?
Yeah.
Like, that's ridiculous.
Like characters, dude. You're giving characters away. Like, let's be real. Like, these guys are already made and just sitting there.
Well, that's the thing. Half of them, though, are characters from, like, old games, too.
Yeah.
That they're like, oh, we're introducing this person. Like, look at Street Fighter, right? They introduced Blanka in a DLC pack. Freaking Blanka. The dude was, like,
original
Poster Boy.
OG. OG,
and he was, you know, shoved away to be a DLC character for Street Fighter just so you could pay more money to get him. Dude, I heard it. So I'm just going to pick up.
Good for you. I'm glad you're picking that stand.
I'm not doing it. Not having it up in here. It's ridiculous, dude. I've gone on my rant many times with that fighting game rant of, it's such a niche, small community that is amazing and love it, but man, $100. Give me a break. Give me a break. But that does it for this episode of The Center Ring, a.k.a. TCR, a.k.a. your favorite esports podcast. Hope you enjoyed it. If you listened to the whole thing, I love you. If you skipped around, I love you all the same. Thank you for those in chat. Korea, Alchemist is in chat. We'll play some Apex later. Dallas, Homer, Brett, thanks for not having time for the show, but having time to watch. I guess that's okay. I'll take it. It gets us a viewer. We will be back next week, though, telling you stories of the Dallas Fuel homestand. Maybe some player interviews. Keep an eye on our YouTube, because every time we go to these events, we typically just throw player interviews up on YouTube as we do them. So definitely keep an eye out there.
I will not be here next week, but I already have a pre-built excuse.
You are on.
You're notified.
Yes, going on vacation. That's okay.
Going on vacation.
So follow us on Twitter @TheCenterRing. But for Anuj, I'm Tib. We'll see ya.